Hey, Darren. Nobody's gonna know.
It would work.
Nobody's gonna know you.
Yeah.
You're elected. I think you got more votes than Dan. Come on.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Prior to the beginning of the official proceedings, each week I ask of this audience and the people watching on television, how are the children? The reason I ask is that we know that when our children are well, they're taken care of, that our community is better for that. So each week I have folks come in and talk to us about issues involving young people and children. And today, I've asked three folks to come up and talk to us. They're all involved in the Pangea Project, and they spent part of this last summer in Ecuador doing various projects in there, and they were also been associated with the Portland Youth Builders. So if Elijah Sykes, Kimmy Arntz, and Chris Craig could please come forward. Thank you for being here this morning. And when you speak, if you just let us know your name, we'd appreciate it. So whoever wants to begin can begin.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Arntz. I'm 18 years old, and I'm a participant of the 2007 Pangea Project. I'm here today to tell you about Pangea and the opportunities it gives to low-income youth. The program is a 10-month program divided in three parts. First one is 4 months of learning and studying in a social theme and studying house. And our theme this year was housing and homelessness. The second part was we traveled to another country and did service projects in Ecuador and learned about our social justice theme out there. Our third was we returned to the States and made presentations to high schools about our trip and aware youth about the housing and homelessness. And I'd like to tell you an experience I had in Ecuador. When we were there, we went to a place called Alinambi, a school for kids of the street, and they came from hard backgrounds, from drugs, alcohol, and gangs. And our last night there, I shared my experiences and the things that I overcame, like drugs and alcohol. And the next morning, one of the teachers there came up to me and wanted to thank me for sharing my struggles and stories. And she told me that the young boy there didn't want to join a gang anymore. And it was just a really powerful experience for me to know that a small thing that I could have done and messed up in my past had a really big impact on somebody. And now I'd like to turn it over to Chris, who will now talk about housing and homelessness.
I'm Chris Craig, and as Kimmy said, I'm going to talk about our social justice theme this year, which is housing and homelessness. I joined the Pangea Project not only because I wanted a global perspective, but because I had been homeless in the past. And being on the streets and watching homeless people go by day after day, I wanted to be part of the solution. And then Pangea Project came along, and I saw it as a perfect start. And we have worked around housing homelessness in many ways. First off, locally, we worked with Dignity Village, Street Roots, Sisters of the Roads, and we also did a survey downtown. We surveyed, we asked people, why do you think homelessness exists in Portland and what can be done about it? We went down to Mississippi to see a bigger sense of homelessness in our own backyard in the Katrina aftermath. And then we went down to Ecuador to see it in a global perspective. And now we're back here doing local leadership. And another thing we're doing, a solution that we came up with, one of the things we're doing is a letter campaign, writing a letter to Senator Gordon Smith, trying to get him to back a bill, H.R. 2895, that would establish funding for 1.5 million units of affordable housing over the next 10 years in Oregon. And I'm going to give that to April, your assistant, after I'm done. Right now, I'm going to give it over to Elijah. He's going to tell you a couple poems.
Hi, my name is Elijah Sykes, and this year we studied three things: a global perspective, social justice, and grassroots leaders. And I'll do two poems. The first is on a global perspective of what I saw in Amazon, and it's called The Amazon. I see children driven by innocence, running and gaping at one another with smiles on their faces. the true essence of new life, not interrupted by the ignorant violence of many places. I see love and laughter, play fighting with each other, and kids paying respect to their fathers and their mothers. I see the youngest toddler on top of a giant tree, with no fear hitting them like it would you and me. I see some of the most beautiful people sharing their lives with distant strangers, passing on love and knowledge as to a baby in a manger. I see a 10-year-old genius with a 4-language span, and a 4-year-old child who smiles when you shake his hand. I see women and men who know how to survive. With little that they have, they are sure to stay alive. I see money with no meaning and no reason for deceiving. Many smiles on many faces, many places with no grieving. I see myself in a place where I never thought I'd be. It must be the essence of God. The Amazon is what I see. And that is the first poem I had. And this one is on a social justice called The Televised Revolution. And here it is. When I hear the revolution will not be televised, I think of a nation that fails to see true dignity and respect, which comes from the evil thoughts of the enemy indirect. I see many revolutions being formed, but voices not being heard because of anonymous organizations and fear of other people spreading the word. I see homeless people crying out because they have no food, medication, or shelter. It is as though their voices are heavyweight but being treated as welter. I see people with nothing saying their will coming in, and newscasts are spreading nonsense just ignoring the trend. I see people dressed in rags wishing they could have cash, getting arrested because they're in a parking lot with a basket and bags. It sickens my brain to see the hurt that comes in the struggle, especially when suffering from sickness and within a day you feel double. But today's pain is tomorrow's gain, and the system will get put to shame, and it will finally look at life as a process and not a game. I can feel the difficulty surrounding the homeless and stifling and strife. They are like increased famines with anger, binding as sharp as a knife. But I believe that when the revolution is televised, an ending will come, when we all gather around as a nation and one.
On behalf of myself, Kimmy, Elijah, and the other three members of the Pangea Project, Sam, Mario, and Ben, I'd like to thank you for letting us come here and have this time to speak to you.
Thank you very much. You were inspiring, and I think our city and our country is going to be well served by you folks in the future. So thank you very, very much. Can we give these folks a hand?
Thank you.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams, Leonard,
here.
Saltzman, Sten, Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Do we have any communications?
Pardon?
Do we have any communications?
No, we do not.
Okay. In order to approve the consent agenda, we have to have Commissioner Saltzman.
On the line, right. He's willing to get on the line for the consent agenda. Commissioner Saltzman?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I have to read this statement from the city attorney. It says, pursuant to PCC 3.0205, Commissioner Saltzman is participating by telephone because it's an emergency ordinance and the code requires a unanimous vote of at least 4 council members for the ordinance to be adopted. An emergency exists because a failure to permit electronic communications would mean the ordinance could not be passed today, which in turn would mean that we could not sign the donation agreement and the city could not receive the property today. This morning, we contacted the offices of Commissioner Adams and Commissioner Saltzman to inform them they could participate in this council hearing by phone. Commissioner Saltzman is able to do so. Commissioner Adams was not able to, but said he supported Commissioner Saltzman participating by phone. Do any council members who are physically present object to having Commissioner Saltzman participate by phone? None do. Okay. We will then move to the consent agenda. Please call a vote on the consent agenda.
Are there any requests for pulls?
Pardon?
Pulls? Any?
Oh, yes. Does any commissioner wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Does any member of this audience wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time certain, and please read both items.
Item 1293, accept the generous donation of a portion of Ross Island to the City of Portland. Item 1294, authorize the mayor to enter into a donation agreement with Ross Island Sand and Gravel Company to accept the donation of a portion of Ross Island.
I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. It's a rare occurrence that our city is given a gift of this magnitude, and this is a very exciting day. Today, the council will accept a generous donation of a portion of Ross Island from Dr. Robert Pamplin, Jr. and his family. I have asked Dr. Pamplin to join me in signing the donation agreement, indeed, which officially puts the gift property into the City of Portland's ownership after the council votes this morning. Securing Ross Island, a portion of Ross Island, for public ownership and protection has been a dream of the city since the 1903 Olmsted Brothers report, which cited Ross Island as a potential city park. With today's action, the city is committing to provide the resources, workforce, and expertise to develop a natural resource management plan for the 45 acres we are accepting. Ross Island is one of the premier wildlife viewing areas within the City of Portland, and combined with the adjacent 160-acre Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge and Holgate Channel, represents a world-class urban wildlife refuge system. Ross Island is home to a variety of native wildlife, including nesting bald eagles, great blue heron, and river otter, and represents an important refuge for threatened fish species. Along with our partners in the environmental community, Ross Island will continue to be a priceless wildlife refuge and environmental resource for our community for generations to come. This day has been a long time in coming. There are many people to thank. First and foremost, thank you, Dr. Pamplin, for your generosity and foresight in donating a portion of Ross Island to Portland for future generations of Portlanders to enjoy. I especially thank you for your persistence in working through what turned out to be a long discussion over the details of the donation. And Mayor Vera Katz was supposed to be here this morning. Did she show up? Okay. Well, she's unable to be here, but I wanted to thank her for her work, which she began several years ago in discussions with Dr. Pamplin, Commissioner Stinn, for working on it as well. And I want to thank Mike Houck and Bob Salinger and Travis Williams and their organizations for their tireless commitment to ecological values represented by Ross Island. And to the friends of Ross Island, we say thank you for your commitment to protecting the resource into the future. Our city staff, I want to thank, include Chris Dearth, the River Renaissance, and the Bureau of Planning, whose steadfast attention to this transaction has been invaluable, as well as the city attorneys Linda Mang and Jan Betts, who work closely with Dr. Pamplin's representatives and were key in producing the donation agreement that we will be signing today. So without further comment, I would like to invite Dr. Pamplin forward so he could address council and our city. And again, thank you for being here, Dr. Pamplin.
I see the sign says, please state your name for the record. So my name is Dr. Robert B. Pamplin, Jr. Well, I have to start off by saying that I admit a certain degree of embarrassment that I'm going to read most of my comments this morning, recognizing that they're on public record. So I want my words to be well-defined and my sentences as well, and to be exact. As you well know, with all the speaking engagements I have, I'm somewhat extemporaneous and inject a little bit of fun and humor. But this morning is very serious because it's something the City of Portland has been wanting, and as well myself. I thank you very much for your gracious remarks and comments. And for all of us, this is occasion, I believe, of noble fulfillment. Many individuals and organizations have made this day possible, but I inscribe my profound appreciation to Mayor Katz, Mayor Potter, Mike Houck, Director of Urban Green Spaces Institute, Bob Salinger, Conservation Director of Portland Audubon, and Travis Williams, Director of Willamette Riverkeeper. At the end, I'm going to have them come up. if it would be okay so that everyone can see their face, because it's important that they identify with these special individuals. So with a sense of contentment, I have signed the donation agreement, which is a consummate public document delineating both the present and the future. From the outset, I stated it was my desire to donate a portion of Ross Island to the city of Portland, but it was also my obligation to be sensitive to balancing the retention of 650 family jobs with protecting the environment and securing conservation. All of those were very dear and important to me, and they had to strike an important and delicate balance. It certainly has been a long process. We all know that. But you know what? Everything's worthwhile has a great ending. So I really believe that to the end of time, we can be proud of a judicious and definitive donation agreement. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to make these comments. And in closing, I would like to shower as much praise in sincerity to everyone who assisted in making this gift possible. Thank you very much. And if I could have Travis and Mike and Bob come forward, please. Now, you know, I'm a firm believer that you need to remember events. This is historic. You created history. Well, maybe we created history. I had a little something to do with it. So, and as time goes on and we move past this, we will be forgotten to some extent. I always want your families to remember what you did here today. And so, thinking of that, I have here some Ross Island rocks. You can just call me Barney Rubble. Now, inscribed on them, it says Ross Island 2007. And so you'll have this to put on your desk or wherever and pass it on down through the family. That you were here, you were a principal in this happening. So only the principals get it. So I've got one for each one of you.
We're not allowed to throw those at each other, Dr. Pamplin.
After I'm gone. And then I have one for each of you as well. Now I have to
thank you.
Make sure
get the right one.
The big ones go to the head cheeses here. You can choose, since Vera isn't here, she was a lady, she could get choose first. You can choose which one you want.
I like that one.
Okay. Do you give this to
her? And I will. You can charge me with that.
Okay. And then one for each one of y'all.
Nice hand size one there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
thank you.
So here's one here. Sam. One for
Dan. Dan, you just got a really nice looking rock.
So be my new pal.
Okay. So somebody can be in charge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, one last thing that I have to do, I have signed the donation agreement. I have signed the deed. I have done everything that I am supposed to do, including the little teeny paper that is non-foreign status. I've signed that as well. So everything on my part has been completed. Now, the only thing we have left to do is the mayor is going to sign the donation agreement, and then it'll be all settled. There was one last item, and that was a $100,000 check, and I've got it right here. So,
here's
thank you. And it's made out to the city of Portland.
Yeah.
Just in case the Ethics Commission is watching this program.
Yeah, that goes into a special fund
for
the maintenance of the island. And so I think that completes everything I have to say, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank
you.
did have a few people to call up to make a few comments. Mike and Bob and Travis, could you come back just for a second? Mike is with the Urban Green Spaces Institute, Bob Salinger is with the Portland Audubon Society, and Travis Williams is with Willamette Riverkeepers. These folks were great partners in working with Dr. Pamplin and the City of Portland, and eventually that we came to an agreement, and I think a lot of the credit, most of the credit goes to the good doctor, but these folks were certainly very helpful. So please go ahead and say a few words.
Well, I'll kick it off. My name is Mike Houck. I am with the Urban Green Spaces Institute. And Dr. Pamplin and I were commiserating a little earlier this morning before the beginning of this wonderful ceremony, remembering that the last time we were in council chambers together was 1979, when they were seeking, Ross Island Sand and Gravel was seeking their permits, and we were seeking to protect the great blue heron nesting colony on Ross Island. And we had quite a few conversations about that, and it's wonderful to be here again with him today at this wonderful moment of transferring a portion of Ross Island to the city. Since 79, bald eagles, as a matter of fact, have moved into where the herons were, and the herons have since moved on downstream to the northern tip of Ross Island onto Port of Portland land. So that's a very dynamic situation out there. Commissioner Sten and Metro President David Bragdon and I and Ross Island Sand and Gravel representatives sat on a team that revisited the 79 restoration plan and actually came out with a new plan that we think benefits both Ross Island Sand and Gravel and the resources out in Ross Island. And then, of course, this morning we're here continuing the evolution of the role of Ross Island and the City of Portland with this wonderful transfer. I'm actually here today with my colleagues of a self-appointed ad hoc, we call it a Ross Island Vision or Design Team, to thank Dr. Pamplin and you, Mayor Potter, and Vera Katz. And I really do want to reemphasize the role of city staff. They did a huge amount of work, and they do all that work in the background. I think they deserve high praise, including the legal staff and Chris and Veronica and others. So we really appreciate the effort they put in. With me are Bob Salinger, Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland, as you've heard, and Travis. And we have another team member, Christina Chris Frank, whose master's thesis on Ross Island inspired us to create the design team to look into the potential futures for the Ross Island. We call it archipelago. There are actually four islands out there, as we all know. We hope to share that vision and have conversations with Dr. Pamplin over time and with the city, because we know that both the city and Dr. Pamplin are going to be producing management plans that address the future of the islands. And we're hopeful that some of the work we've done with neighborhoods and so forth and getting input might help that process. And so with that, I'll just turn it over to Bob and Travis and Chris, and they wanted to share a few comments with you.
Good morning. My name is Bob Salinger, and I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. First off, I would like to offer my profound thanks to Dr. Pamplin. This is an incredible donation to the city, and it's a very, very exciting day. Also want to offer our thanks to Mayor Potter and Mayor Katz for all of their work to bringing this to fruition. It's been a long road, and people have remained faithful to this vision. I also want to thank the Friends of Ross Island. We jointly, Willamette Riverkeeper, UGI, and Audubon, and others began Friends of Ross Island over a year ago, and within a couple of days, we had over 200 members. So a huge amount of interest out there, and it's that community enthusiasm that's kept this vision alive as well. And finally, I want to spend a second thanking Mike Houck. I think when we think about Ross Island, no one's done more to keep this vision alive than Mike. I can remember starting at Audubon in 1992, and at the very first meeting I was at, hearing Mike talk about Ross Island as really the heart and soul of this green space vision, and he's never stopped talking about it since. I know Mike's accomplished a lot, but I think this is probably the nearest and dearest to his heart, and no one's worked harder to make this happen. Ross Island truly epitomizes wild in the city, and I hope when we think about it, we think about it at two levels. We think about it in an immediate sense in terms of its restoration potential, its recreation potential. There's an incredible amount to be done out there and an incredible amount of opportunity. But I hope we think about it in the larger perspective as well, that it's a reminder of our place in space, how we fit into the greater universe. Our green space system really did begin down here with Ross Island and Oaks Bottom and the effort to protect those areas back in the 1970s and 80s. It's an incredible place for wildlife, and I'm always struck by the fact that when the eagles first showed up there in the 1990s, people would call Portland Audubon to find out if they were lost. Literally, we get calls on a regular basis because people would see them from the Twilliger Curves, and they would ask us, why are they there, where are they going, and can you help them get there? People were surprised to learn that this endangered species actually could live in the middle of downtown Portland. This is a valuable place for Salmona species, endangered Salmona species that use the island. A valuable place for birds. It's one of just over 100 important bird areas identified in Oregon by Audubon Society, which fits into a national and international system of important bird areas, the most important resting, migration, and nesting locations for birds. So I hope it serves as an inspiration to our community that this was where it began, but it needs to continue, it needs to grow, we need to continue to restore our landscapes, and that as we move forward, we keep that in mind. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Travis Williams, executive director of Willamette Riverkeeper. Move over here. Definitely appreciate the opportunity to share a few thoughts about Ross Island. First of all, I want to thank, as Mike and Bob have, you, Mayor Potter, for your continued persistence on this issue and everyone at the city who has worked on this. It's been really critical. And I think the generosity of Dr. Pamplin and Ross Island Sand and Gravel to continue moving forward as well and to bring us to where we are today, I think it's just fantastic. When you look around the entire Willamette system, what we're looking at today are some large floodplain reconnection opportunities, large restoration projects. And it's ironic that right here in the city of Portland, we have a fantastic new natural place for people and for wildlife. And I think Ross Island represents a lot of potential of not what can only happen here in the urban area, but for the entire system. This is at a critical spot in the Willamette River. I would say I think it also represents a lot of potential in terms of what level of collaboration and partnership that can occur to solve difficult issues and to conduct restoration throughout the entire basin. And I think this process is really indicative of people really coming together with a common goal from Ross Island Sand and Gravel, Dr. Pample, and the city, organizations like ours, and working together and forging something pretty incredible. My hope is that partnership and collaboration can continue with everybody at the table making an investment in the future of this, not only this island, this archipelago, but the wider natural spaces along the Willamette and throughout the area. So thanks again, and look forward to working with you all in the future.
Thank you very much, folks.
And my name is Christina Frank, and again, thank you so much for having all of us here, and thank you, Dr. Pamplin. And as Mike mentioned, I was a graduate student at the University of Washington, and in 2005, I completed a thesis on Ross Island, and the title of the thesis was Remanufacturing Ross Island, Transforming a Portland, Oregon Mining Site into a Post-Industrial Ecological Park. And during my research process, I met Mike, and we started talking about it. I'm not a scientist, so I definitely needed some support there. And my thesis really considered all of the islands, Ross Island, Hardtack, Toe Island, and East Island, and I was asking the question, in the future, what kind of park can this be? Through that exploration, I principally focused on two main stories that I felt were almost equally important. Of course, this ecological story, this island is just teeming with wildlife, and it represents a really important ecological stepping stone, kind of a link in a chain of habitat hotspots along the Willamette River. But I was also incredibly turned on by the mining story, by this rich cultural history. We've heard that half of Portland has been built using the concrete and sand and gravel from Ross Island, and I didn't want that story to be erased in whatever was going to happen later on. So throughout the thesis, I came up with an approach and also with some design ideas for cultivating a new kind of urban wildlife refuge, one that really hybridizes industry and wildlife habitat and provides people with something that no other situation can offer. So in the thesis, I developed some guidelines, kind of a toolkit of sorts, some principles, and those were really the jumping off point for the principles that we have developed in the Ross Island Vision Team, and I'd just like to read those to you now. The following principles were developed by the Ross Island Vision Team, and we believe that they should guide all future Ross Island restoration, management, and public access decisions. And there are 8 of them. Number 1, first and foremost, restore and manage Ross, Hardtack, East, and Toe Islands to ensure their long-term ecological functions. 2, consider the islands in their context as part of a watershed, part of a wildlife system, and part of a city. 3, nurture a mutually beneficial relationship between humans and the islands that improves ecological values and encourages sensitive interactions. 4, cultivate a stewardship ethic that builds public, private, and community partnerships to support the island's restoration and ecological health. 5, preserve, reveal, and interpret the island's natural, cultural, and industrial histories. 6, evoke the island's unique qualities and iconic nature. 7, employ an artistic approach to the island's restoration and management. And finally, establish a long-term phased adaptive management plan for the islands. So thank you so much again. Our team is really looking forward to working with Dr. Pamplin and the city on their respective management plans, as Mike mentioned. And we really look forward, the Ross Island Vision Team does, we look forward to sharing our design ideas with you and the public in the near future.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We do have an elected leader who wished to say a few words, the president of Metro, David Bragdon. Welcome, President.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and commissioners, I appreciate the chance to be here and congratulate you and Dr. Pamplin on this accomplishment today. And just wanted to touch briefly on one little bit of recent history that helped lead to this. And also just make a couple comments about the lessons this provides us for how we work together going into the future. And I believe this predates Mayor Potter and Commissioner Leonard's service on the council here, and I think it's worth remembering that Commissioner Sten and the company Ross Island Sand and Gravel co-chaired a committee several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I was privileged to be on that committee along with Mr. Houck. And the purpose of that committee was to participate in the renewal of the mining permit and really to update it from what had been a reclamation permit using the science and standards of the 1970s into a true restoration plan fitting the science and the needs of today. And it was a tough job, and Commissioner Sten and the company did a great job of working together on that, and I think it's a great model. It set the stage for the transaction today and really shouldn't be forgotten. At any step of the way, it really was a leap of faith, and I think the company, Ross Island Sand and Gravel, at any point could have been nervous in that the standards were changing to something more performance-based and outcomes-based instead of something hard and fast. And likewise, I think any of us in the public sector or the independent sector, the environmental organizations who participated, they also could have been nervous at a lot of different points in that process, saying, well, we kind of know what the standards were and we're more comfortable with that. But everybody resisted that temptation to kind of lapse back into mistrust, and everybody said, well, we're going to trust each other and move forward because doing so we think is going to yield a better result. And the result of that permit is one that indicates that the submerged and submersible lands are unique. They have a particular function, and that measuring that function and monitoring it into the future is going to be important, that the deep parts are distinctive, the upland parts are distinctive. And it's really very well tailored. It does require ongoing monitoring and maintenance, but it's the sort of thing that built a foundation of trust that enabled this to happen, and I think is indicative of the type of innovation that needs to happen in natural resource management, founded on the science that we have today. So going forward, then, I guess my conclusion would be, I think the model that the company that Dr. Pamplin and Commissioner Sten set with that several years ago, I think can be a model region-wide. We had a summit meeting last June. Mayor Potter participated in that. Commissioner Saltzman participated in that as well. Back in June, Mayor Daley was here from Chicago, and we've been forming this Connecting Green Alliance to explore new ways in which major employers, businesses such as Ross Island Sand and Gravel, government agencies, and volunteer organizations really can work together on natural resource issues, landowners, property owners. And the working relationships developed in this transaction that closes today ought to be something that, you know, serves us well as a model going into the future. One of the objectives that was adopted at that, and that the various agencies around the region and non-governmental organizations have all committed to, is let's see if we can restore 10,000 acres of degraded natural areas in this region. Let's make that a goal. We've also adopted goals with regard to trail construction, with regard to access to park services around the region. But this restoration one, 10,000 acres, is an ambitious goal. This 45 acres is really a great example and such a visible one that, you know, we, all of us in that Connecting Green Alliance, want to work with your various bureaus to help make restoration happen. And so, again, just congratulations both to you and to Ross Island Sand and Gravel for the perseverance. And, again, in particular, the panel that you just heard, you know, Mr. Houck, Mr. Salinger, Mr. Williams, Ms. Frank, the time and the patience that they have put in, as well as mentioned, Dr. Pamplin's time and patience. It's a great model for us all. Thank you.
Thank you, President Bragman. I'd like to invite Gil Kelly up and also Dave McAllister.
Thank you, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. We won't take a lot of time. We just wanted to add our voices to those of thanks to Dr. Pamplin, to you, Mayor Potter, to Commissioner Sten and Mayor Katz, who provided the leadership on this, as well as to Mike, Bob, and Travis, who've just done heroic work here. I'd like to particularly thank Chris Dearth of my staff, who I know was very helpful to you, Mayor Potter, in the days in which you were negotiating this piece. I mostly wanted to say on behalf of the River Renaissance directors, the bureau directors involved here, that we pledge to provide long-term stewardship for this great donation, and that will be done in this particular case by the Parks Bureau in the lead, and you'll hear from Dave in just a moment about that. But I wanted to say this is also important for the larger River Renaissance in that it provides momentum in a critical category of our effort, which is to secure for long-term heritage of our city key habitat sites along the river. As you know, we're developing sites up and down the river for active human and economic use, and it's also important to balance that with long-term acquisition and improvement and stewardship of natural habitat areas. That's the embodiment of the River Renaissance. And to hear the testimony today and to know that that's been accomplished through a three-way collaboration, as Dr. Pamplin mentioned, between a private entity, between nonprofit groups and the city, is really, again, kind of the embodiment of the spirit of the River Renaissance. So my thanks to all of you and our pledge to keep this dream alive. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, members of the commission, Dave McAllister, City Nature Manager, Portland Parks and Recreations, and I want to be brief as well. But we are going to join in the chorus of celebration here for the donation of this portion of Ross Island. And as Mayor, as you mentioned earlier, this is an important piece of habitat along with Oaks Bottom, the Holgate Slough. It reaches the largest and most significant habitat south of Selwood Bridge. And we're delighted to have that. As you know, it comes into our property portfolio, Parks, and City Nature will manage this as part of its other 7,500 acres of natural areas and green space. And in that, we dedicate, you know, the interest there for protecting biodiversity, enhancing clean water and other ecosystem services. So Ross Island now becomes the most significant of three islands that Parks manages on the Willamette River. There's the Toe Island adjacent to Ross Island, and also Elk Rock Island, which is on the southern edge of the city. Now, consistent with the donation agreement, City Nature within Parks Department will manage the property as a wildlife sanctuary, and with no public access allowed, at least into the foreseeable future until we work on a management plan. Through the generous donation of Dr. Pamplin, We've also established a $100,000 trust fund, and you have that check in your hand, Mayor. And that will be used to improve the habitat conditions on the island. And the city nature staff has already been out and done an assessment of the island, and we have the vegetation documented and the condition of that vegetation. And we're going to be using that $100,000 to improve these habitats and to do that to maximize the habitat values for the future and the use for wildlife for that island. So again, we want to thank Dr. Pamplin for this generous gift, and we want, and Parks is committed to manage this as part of the legacy that Dr. Pamplin's providing to the city and also to the future citizens of Portland. So thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you both. I also have a letter from Bill Wyatt, who is executive director of the Port of Portland. They own a small part of the northern tip of Ross Island and have assured us in this letter that they will work with the city of Portland to ensure that there's a consistent management plan in place that they will participate and support. So that's good news as well. Are there people signed up to testify?
We have one person signed up, Sarah Culp.
Well, before Sarah begins, I have to say, Sarah used to work in my office, and she did a lot of the early work with Dr. Pamplin's office and also the other city offices that were involved in this. And then Veronica Valenzuela also took it over after Sarah went to the Portland Development Commission. So, Sarah, thank you very much for what you did. Veronica, thank you. You folks just worked tirelessly on this, and you were in the background. But in terms of getting the job done, you were right at the front. So thank you.
All right, he gave me away. my name is Sarah Culp, and I'm here just as a normal old resident of Southeast Portland. And I just wanted to say congratulations and thank you to the City Council and Dr. Pamplin for this historic donation and agreement for our city. Ross Island is a real gem and was... one of the moments when I realized that I had totally fallen in love with Portland was when I was paddling down the channel between Ross Island and Oaks Bottom and showing it off to my family. And they said, oh my gosh, we can't believe in the middle of this big city and this huge urban area, there's this place where you can be totally peaceful and tranquil and see eagles and herons and almost forget that you're in the middle of a city and enjoy this serenity, but also look up and see the beautiful urban landscape of Portland, too. So I just wanted to thank you for the work to protect this opportunity and to press ahead with the vision of the River Renaissance and reminding Portlanders that we have this amazing river system right in the middle of our city. And I hope more people will get down at water level and enjoy that view of our city. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
That's all who signed up.
Please call the vote on the resolution.
Leonard?
Well, there couldn't have been a more fitting conclusion to today's ceremony than what Sarah Culp just said and the passion with which she said it. And she called it a historic donation, which actually kind of stole some of the thunder of what I wanted to say. Certainly, Dr. Pamplin is known as being a very successful businessman, and he is. And certainly he is known as being a selfless philanthropist, and he is. But that's not how I think of him. As I have met with him and talked with him and viewed what he's doing today, I think of him as the historian that he is. And I used to have a professor at Portland State, Dr. Webb, history professor, who loved to say that political science is history poorly taught. And I think he was thinking of historians like Dr. Pamplin when he said that, because true historians don't become mired in the past. They look at the past in order to create a clearer vision for the future of what the future should be like and what the future can be like based on the experience of our civilizations. And Dr. Pamplin really, for me, epitomizes a historian, because he absolutely understands that this is beyond a gift, this is beyond philanthropy, this is, as Sarah said, a historic moment, creating a new era for a piece of property that Portlanders have really salivated over for generations. And it is only Dr. Pamplin's, I think, understanding of that property in the context of the history of the city and the future of the city that allowed this to happen. And I recognize that, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to also offer my deep, sincere thanks to Dr. Pamplin for his very generous donation of Ross Island. In some respects, it's the culmination of his generosity, both to higher education throughout our city, to preserving important Civil War history outside of our city, and also to making Portland a two-newspaper town once again. And I think that's an accomplishment. So serves all of us well. The more competition we have among newspaper, I think the better we all are. And I also want to thank him for his extensive beefing up of the strength of community, local newspapers as well. That's another success. But clearly, the success we're heralding today is one of the legacy that he leaves for this city, that I, my family, all our citizens will continue to cherish forever. So thank you, Dr. Pamplin. Please vote aye.
Stan.
Well, I also want to thank Dr. Pamplin. It's been a real pleasure working with you and watching you work the last few years. And I think it's, you know, 100 years ago, there was basically a decision made that you cannot run a city and have healthy rivers. I mean, the basic strategy that the city took was to dump the sewage into the rivers and to let them clear things out. And I think we're in the process of coming up with not only a better vision. The vision is actually these days the easier part to get to, of that we want the rivers and the industry to work, but to try and build a city in which we restore the habitat, fish and wildlife can live, and we can also continue to have a city. And I think Dr. Pamplin, when I first met with you, set out to say, you know, we have 600 people working here who have family wage jobs. We want to keep those jobs. We've got to find a way. Concrete is a green product that we are going to continue to use for a very long time. And so there had to be a way to transition this. And I think the committee we worked on trying to look at different alternatives was all done, paid for by Ross Island and Dr. Pamplin in public, and we just debated things and put things out there, and it was not immediately obvious. Usually when I sit on these kind of committees, there's sort of a sense of, okay, we're going to start here and end there, and this committee's job is to do it. And this Dr. Pamplin said to me as I chaired the committee, air out all the possible ways to change how we're doing things, and we'll review those and look at those and figure it out. And so it took a long time, because it's a hard thing, and I don't think too many cities have pulled it off, to figure out how to take wildlife and make it work. And so I think this really is a legacy piece. I also think it argues for the entire rest of the greenway inside of our city, that what we need to continue to do. I had the challenge and privilege of leading some of our endangered species efforts a few years ago, and there isn't an inch of the Willamette in Portland that hasn't been affected by human kind. And so it's not a matter of protecting the green space. It's going back in and trying to rebuild it and redo it. But the wonderful thing about cities, I think, is that they get renewed and redeveloped over time. I mean, if you come back 100 years from now, there won't be a block in the city that looks the same. And so this is our chance, thanks to Dr. Pamplin's vision and generous leadership, to build on it. And I want to thank Mayor Potter and Mayor Katz, who I think took the resources and said, this is a big priority for the city. We're going to get this done. And it's really exciting. And I've had the chance to go by in a kayak with Mike and on a boat with Dr. Pamplin, and certainly been above it in air and driven by it a lot of times. And I think that this will be a chance for many people to see what's right in front of them. I'm not sure all of Portlanders realize just how terrific an asset this is. And I do agree with David Bragdon, who I also want to thank, that this is a building block towards, it may be the most significant 45 acres, but it's a building block towards that 10,000 acres so we get the habitat where we need it to be so the city can function with nature. And we've had one all our whole history, but maybe not both. And so this is a terrific step forward and a legacy for what I think ought to be called Pamplin Island. Aye.
Potter.
I don't think I have a resolution for that, but we can certainly work on it. But we only own a portion of that island, so. But I do want to thank you, Dr. Pamplin. You've been a man of your word, and I appreciate that. I'm staring at this $100,000 check. That's what you said you would do. I am going to be going out Friday in a canoe to look at our newest park, and your generous gift to this city and to our future. I really, truly thank you for that. I also want to thank Mayor Katz. I'm just sorry that she can't be here this morning with us. I know that this means so much to her, and on her behalf, I'd like to thank you as well. And to the citizens of Portland, I hope that in the future, you too are able to take a canoe ride by this beautiful, beautiful wildlife area and see what is there and appreciate it and understand the importance that it is to our green spaces and our habitat protection here in Portland. I'd like to thank Mike Houck and Bob Salinger and Travis Williams and all the good folks who worked on this. You've done yeoman's work. And to our staffs, you two have done a tremendous thing for our community. We are celebrating today, but I think probably in another 100 years, people will still go by in their canoes past Ross Island and take a look at what a very generous man gave to our city. I vote aye. Please. Please call a vote on the ordinance.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stinn?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. I think we have a signing to complete. We have the documents here. Vera, I know you're watching. This is the rock that's going to get you. This is yours, and this one is mine. They won't be confused. Mine's smaller than yours.
Mayor, before we hang up with Commissioner Saltzman,
yes.
He has requested we hear item 1317, the other emergency ordinance on the agenda.
Authorize a revocable. Could you please, is that okay, folks, to move to that other emergency ordinance?
1317.
It's okay with me if we keep it brief, because we've got people have been waiting for quite a while.
Pardon me?
We got a 10 o'clock time certain, so if this is brief, I'm okay. If it's long,
it's going to be brief.
Okay, great.
1317, authorize a revocable permit for the temporary management of operations at Heron Lakes Golf Course.
We're just here to answer any questions you might have.
Brief.
Any?
Barely.
Okay, was anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
And no one signed up.
Okay, please call the vote.
I'm sorry, Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stinn?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
It's not wise to keep Commissioner Cafori waiting.
That's, well, I understand that. Thank you, Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Please read the 10 a.m.
Okay. I'm ready.
Oh, I think you're still on the line.
This might get interesting. I ought to just be quiet for a minute and listen.
Please read the 10 a.m. time certain.
1295. Appoint Gretchen Cafori to the Housing Authority of Portland Board of Commissioners for a term beginning October 31, 2007, to expire June
11,
2011.
Mr. Sten.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I couldn't think of anything after, you know, getting the Ross Island done, which has been going on for a long time, that would give me more pleasure than that, but it actually happened two things in a row. But I'm bringing forward the nomination of Commissioner Gretchen Cafori to the Housing Authority Board. I almost want to just say she does not need an introduction as to why we would want her to serve on the Housing Authority Board, but just in case anybody out there does not know, in addition to having the dubious distinction of being my mentor, Gretchen has a very distinguished history, and I think is really beginning with her election to the City Council in 1990, led and I think made real the current movement, I would call it, to try and have Portland be a place where we have affordable housing. I think since she started pushing policies that are now really coming to fruition, the city has done 12 to 14,000 affordable housing units in partnership with the Housing Authority, with nonprofits and for-profits. And I think more importantly, we've created a sense that what Gretchen argued in 1990 and people didn't see coming at that time was that this city is going to succeed, but it may not be a place for everyone. And I think under Mayor Potter's leadership and certainly Commissioner Leonard and all of my colleagues, I think Gretchen probably could only, you know, wish in 1990 that you'd see things like a 30% set aside. It was impossible to discuss those kinds of issues. And so I think she started us off. I would not say she retired from the affordable housing game because she's been very present, but I would say she took a little bit of a break from taking formal positions and decided after leaving the council and teaching at PSU that it was not the time to actually sit on boards. And I don't know quite what our chair at the Housing Authority, Jeff Bachrach, and our executive director, Steve Redmond, said to her, because I have tried to convince her to serve on this board in past appointments that I had and failed, but she has said yes, and so I really think that although it will lead to you hearing some things and being pushed very hard in directions that you probably want to go but can't quite get to, having an advocate of this caliber, I think, can only serve the Housing Authority very, very well. So it's my pleasure to introduce former city commissioner, county commissioner, state legislator, and godmother of the housing movement, Gretchen Cafori, to serve on the Housing Authority Board if, after that long-winded introduction, she still wants to do it.
Would you like to make a statement, Commissioner?
Jeff is good.
Well, I'm Jeff Bachrach. I'm chair of the Housing Authority of Portland's Board of Commissioners. I can't add anything to what Eric said. We will welcome her strong, engaged voice on our commission, and I think it'll make our agency even that much stronger. And we didn't have to do a lot of arm twisting. Yeah. We were thrilled and delighted she accepted. And I know, I don't know if this was a condition of her acceptance, but I know she's not interested in any speech making here today. So I have nothing more to say other than to present Gretchen for your confirmation. And Gretchen, do you really want to get out without that? We'll be back in the future asking, I know. But
we'll be here. I'm Gretchen Cafori, and I am delighted to get back into my deepest passion, which is affordable housing. And I'm retiring from Portland State in the spring, and my kids have been a little nervous that I would get bored and bother the grandchildren too much. So I agreed when I was asked that this was the right time in the right job, so I'm delighted to accept the nomination. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you very much. Is anyone?
Sorry, there's any public testimony?
Yes. Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Okay. Please call the vote.
Leonard.
Well, Gretchen sits here as the boss of a majority of this city and council right now, at least the former boss, and she was Eric's boss, and she was mine when she was commissioner in charge of fire. And that was interesting.
There was a time when Sam thought he was her boss, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm sure she disabused him of that notion just as she did me when I was president of the firefighters. But my history with Gretchen goes back as an intern, when I was an intern in the Oregon legislature in 1975 in the House Majority Office, and she was a new member, and she caught my attention then as an aspiring young person and just becoming exposed to politics with her passion and conviction, and I have been a fan and an admirer of hers for all these years. And honestly, we often use the word honor more than we should. It's really an honor to be in a spot all these years later to vote to confirm you. Yeah.